Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Lead Blog Talk Radio Show. Tonight we are continuing our series of brothers and sisters who are acquiring land because they're tired of having to deal with living with a beast, living with people who don't care about us, having to abide by rules and laws and abide by a culture that is detrimental and toxic to us. So tonight, Dr. Ridley has his guest. I'm going to open Dr. Ridley's mic, and we'll get started. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridley.
Assalamu alaikum. And I would like my guest, Brother Shahid and his wife, Sister Shahida, to hit the one on your keypad, the one, so you can get into the queue. And also, Brother Patrick, if you're there, please hit the one so you can get up in the queue. So, yes,
okay.
I got...
We got somebody
pop up yet?
With digits 0165. Who has 0165?
That's me, Brother Shahid.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam. How you doing, doctor?
Hey, man. Two flat tires. You know, just par for the course.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, brothers. Lord have mercy. You in it now, son.
Not on your level, though.
No, that's okay. You got you will have enough. You will have enough. You will have enough. you ain't gonna be bored no more. I guarantee you that. If you ever were bored, you won't be bored no more. So, it's so great to hear when I heard what you all and your wife are doing, and a lot of Muslims, man, investing Bitcoin and stock market is some of us are investing in land. I never heard Imam Elijah Muhammad told us to invest in the stock market. He told us to invest in land, get land. And so it's good to see so many of us now going and getting some land. And
Great. And
I also have a brother Patrick. Hopefully he's on the line. Is Brother Patrick on yet?
Patrick, if you're on the line, press 1. Press 1, Brother Patrick, so we can open your mic.
Brother Patrick has a small farm, urban farm, right outside of Atlanta. And,
man,
you know, he grows sheep, he grows cattle, chickens, and then he has, a garden. And so he's doing it. I don't know how much, I think it's about 25 or 30 acres. And so I have, when I have people who have small acreages come on, I like to have him on because he's had 7 years experience dealing with that type of situation. You know, my experience is dealing with a whole, it's a lot different situation. I don't know a lot about the other situations. And one thing about farming, no two farms are alike. And so one of the main things I try to get people to do is contact other farmers, and in particular, the ones who live close to you, make friends with them. They'll help you. Once they see you trying to do something and you ask them a question about something you're trying to do, they'll help you. Now, you ain't doing nothing, you just got started. If you ain't tried to do nothing, then they ain't got time for you. But they see you out there trying to do something, they'll stop and talk to you. You know what I mean? So just make sure you make contact as you all are getting your act together there with the people around you, because they'd be the greatest help. So tell me, what was the motivating factor, the last straw that made you decide that you all was going to do this?
Man, well, my wife and I, for the last maybe 5 or 6 years, we've been thinking about purchasing land and establishing our own little area. We definitely were thinking about getting an area where you could have like a little Muslim village where you could have couples and have their homes on the land. We could all be together as like a little community. But in terms of making that feasible, it just wasn't moving, as fast as we wanted it to move. So we said, well, let's just go ahead out there and, start it. And then if Allah bless something like that to happen later on, then that's fine. So once we started thinking about getting land, we were looking at, because my wife has her own school, so we're looking at one of the ultimate goals is to have a boarding school on the land. We were also looking at our plan is to have an educational center. So it's not just a farm, but it's a farm and a STEAM educational center where our youth can come all from all over, learn farming, learn agribusiness, but also learn science, technology, engineering, art, math. We wanted to have an obstacle course there, nature walk. So we were looking at, because both of us are educators, so the farm was the of course we want to be able to grow our own food and produce. But we also were looking at the component of the education of our children and of our people, just to be able to come and learn not just farming, but also some other things that we need to learn and do. So I guess our motivation was, one, the teachers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan have been telling us that people cannot exist freely without land. So that was the catalyst. And then our integration of the educational goals that we have also caused us to want to have our own, where we can have horses out there and I'll talk to you about the horses, but have some some animals out there for the children to learn from. So, and I've always had a vision, I won't say a dream, to have this place called Funiversity. And I got an architect to draw it up, and I was just looking for some funding and a building to put it in. And this would be a place where children would come and they would be able to get in a room with a bunch of building blocks, engineering, hands-on activity, kind of like a science museum, but on a whole nother level. But wow. Then COVID hit, and I was like, man, I can't do nothing with a building right now because most people are not going to be coming out. So we said, right. You know what? My wife and I said, well, we could do it on our own land and put it in like freight containers and make them into learning labs. So that's one of our goals right now that we want to do. So,
man,
I mean, I'm here with my
team. How much area y'all got?
We only have 5 acres. We were looking to get 10, low less than 10, but all of our pursuits seemed to fall by the wayside. And we wanted to get out close by the minister at New Buffalo, but we couldn't find anything for months. And then once we kept getting rejected, but the little ones we found, Allah opened this 5-acre piece up 5 minutes from the minister's farm. So that's what we're working on.
Well, you know, in terms of farming, you know, Sister BJ, it would be an excellent source.
Oh yeah,
you know, for you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm sure she would love to help you, but she'd be
yes,
an excellent source. And they got horses.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But you know what you do? You say your wife what?
My wife, well, she does security on her, but she also has been going to the farm and helping out many times with helping Sister Betsy Jean with the farm. So she's learned a lot and will be learning more about the farming. Wow. I'm just a math teacher, so, you know, I'm totally ignorant. My wife at least has some farm experience.
Well, you know, so it's beautiful. It's beautiful that you are mixing the sciences with it because everything came from farming. You know, they call accountants bean counters for a reason because somebody had to count the beans. Okay,
right.
That you had to, so you could distribute it to the people. Somebody had to count the beans, and so to know what year, what time it is to plant, somebody had to know about the time, the astronomy. Some that had to learn astronomy. And to be able to lay the fields out and not fight over whose property it is, you have to learn about surveying. So
yes,
all
sir.
these things come from when you are trying to survive on land, using land, which is the natural process. And then all these other things are part of it. I mean, geometry. I mean, I'm out here, and everything we do out here is just a matter of inches. And the angle at which you're moving something at the dirt, the earth, your instrument, the angle that your instrument is in, that you want to move the dirt away from your plant or towards your plant, you want to dig shallow, you want to dig deep, it's all a matter of the angle of your implement and the horsepower needed to do it. So the mathematics, all the time in farming, you always estimating, calculating, so tying that with the educational part with the farming is going to really give the young people a chance to understand. I have this dream myself. One day I want to have a school, and in the morning, the sisters would be in class, and the brothers would be in the field. And
yes,
in the
sir.
Afternoon, the brothers would be in class. And the sisters would be in the value-added processing facilities in the air conditioning. But each time, you have both theory and practice. And so what you learn in the classroom, you apply. And what you – and out there in the field or in the cannery, the questions you have now can be brought to the classroom to get a theoretical understanding of why it's done this way and not that way. So it's just a perfect fit to combine both the theory and the practice, so the child will understand why. You know, not just learn some numbers, but why? How's it used? Why do I need to know this? Well, right there you show them why. Because if you don't do that right, you might get your finger cut off. Okay, is that good enough for you? Okay.
Man, you sound like you took a trip to Cuba with somebody and learned that Cuban's educational program is that not just theory but practice.
Well, I did go to Cuba.
You know anything about that?
Well, I did go to Cuba. The minister had us down, took us down in 2006 with him, and I tell the people, you need to study the Cubans if you really want to be free. You know, they deal with the practicality, they deal with the theory, and the city people just don't stay in the cities because we can already have our annual weed pulling festival here at Muhammad Farms, and I got that idea from Cuba. Because in Cuba, when the weeds are infesting the farms on outside, they got two sets of farms. One are the big farms that produce the staple products like the flour, the wheat, the corn, the rice, the black beans. The internal in the cities, they have a lot of raised bed gardens where they do the fresh vegetables. They have this combination of big farm and a little farm, and when the big farms need help, the people in the cities take off their suits and ties and put on their overalls, and they go on a bus and they go out to the farm to help fight the weeds. So,
that's beautiful.
Yes, Cuba is a beautiful model of how you survive and how you combine both the agriculture and the cosmopolitan. In other words, you can not just have one thing you do, but you do more than one thing. And you see that the relationship between both, so everybody has an appreciation for everybody else. Yeah, Cuba is a serious model. And it sounds like what you all are doing is instilling that type of thing into the youth. As they can see, you get your hands dirty and you get your mind clean.
I like that. It was an honor going with you to Cuba as well.
Oh, that's right. You know about that. You ought to stop playing. That's right. What I'm talking about. You're my roommate. Don't you know something about Cuba? Please, you stop playing. You're my roommate, man. Oh, man, that was great, wasn't it, man?
That was beautiful. We, even though we were the stepchildren, the bag boys, but it was beautiful.
We was there, though. We was worth it. It was there. And because, you know, we broke away. We broke away from the crowd, from the tour, and we went walking, right? And that's when we found out about how they deal with their food. Wasn't that fascinating?
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful, man. We learned that firsthand, but because you knew a little Spanish. I didn't know no Spanish, but you knew a little Spanish, so you was able to communicate with the people, man. That was great. Yeah, I forgot, man. You were my roommate. I'm talking about. You know, do you know anything about Cuba? You know I do. I was with you.
I'll be a fun guest.
But you know, the minister gave us a great opportunity. And I learned a lot from it, but that was.
Yeah, because you came, you were one of the people that came. You came back and put it to work. That's what you came back and put it to work. That's what he wanted us to do in these ministries.
That's right.
A lot.
As a matter of fact, when I came back, the first thing I did was got three other brothers, and we went to Minister Farrakhan's farm and put in 11 raised beds. In his garden, and they're still using it today. You know, because the minister needs to have his own fresh source of fresh vegetables. And so we learned that from Cuba, how they did it. We saw how they did it in Cuba, and we came back and applied that immediately to build some raised bed gardens, a raised bed garden for 11 boxes, you know, 11 raised beds at the minister's farm.
I think my wife
also
plans to do that too. We're doing raised beds.
Okay.
Yeah, we're doing raised bed gardens. Praise be to Allah.
The men are taking up and dominating the conversation. I know your wife is very loquacious. So does she have anything that she wants to add?
Yes.
First of all, I thank you so very much, Dr. Rigley, for this opportunity. Because we're learning as we're going. It truly is a beautiful experience. But Shahid pretty much summed up what we're doing, what we're working towards. We're really trying to leave that legacy for our children, our future grandchildren, and the students that we've taught over the years, that they may carry on this legacy of getting back to the farm and really having the opportunity to see that food grow and have that fresh produce yourself. So it's a really humbling experience. I think when we first cleared the brush for the area where we're going to be putting in the garden, it's like an acre. And you really don't understand how massive an acre is until you clear that brush through your lot. And you're like, oh my God, this is not like my front lawn. This is a lot of area. So, I think it's really beginning to hit now. But being able to share the experience with our students, we actually have, we're blessed to have a parent at my school who is going to be working on building the chicken coop and helping with the raise and so forth. She's a carpenter. A master carpenter, and she's going to be training up some students as well. So this, we see this as such a blessing, not just for our family, but also for our family, our larger family, the believing family, and others that we hope to bring up to the farm and teach and train. And we, of course, we want to expand. My parents are so inspired as they see us doing this. My dad was like, oh man, you need to look for some more land up there. So he was like, I want to buy land up there too now. So it's really inspiring and encouraging, and I'm so thankful to Allah that we went ahead and took that leap of faith, because it is a leap of faith, but we have to do it. We must do it. Yeah. It's a freedom that I've never felt before in my life.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you about that experience in terms of freedom. It is me and my wife. People said, matter of fact, somebody came down here to interview us from a magazine, Bourgeois magazine, Black Knit magazine, and asked the question, what did we miss? Me and my wife missed by being down here on the farm. You know, he said, like what? She said, like, you know, like Starbucks. We just kind of laugh. No, we got a coffee machine. You know, so yeah, you got to be made for this type of thing. But you know, then you don't have to be made for this type of thing. I take that back, because you know the minister said that even though they had the farm, it wasn't until he got really sick and he needed to stay at the farm to recover.
Right.
That he really didn't fell in love with the country life and the farm, because you know he was a city boy. So I have to take that back. You know, it's like once you get a bit, you know what I mean. Once you get bit by the soil, you know, we know when people come out here to work at the farm to visit. You know, like for our Founders Day, now we have the weed pulling festival. You know, their genetic memory kicks in. You know, they begin to remember stuff, and it just becomes second nature, and it just does something to you to get. That's why they want us on that concrete, so we can't get back to ourselves. You know,
right.
I mean, get your hand in the earth, make that direct connection. Mm-hmm. So I wish I could just pitch a tent and just sit there and watch y'all as y'all develop and grow, and see. You know, I just so y'all got to come every now and then. And be on the program, and then you got to do some videos, so I can paste them up on my Facebook page, you know, the Minister of Agriculture page and my page, to keep up with what you want to show us as you go. I mean, you got to show us everything, you know. This ain't a reality TV. I make it look good when I show stuff from the farm. I make it look good, all right? It ain't good all the time, all right? It ain't good all the time, but you don't want to have a reality TV around me, somebody with a camera. I do the control of the camera, because I will
let
loose of an explicative in a minute. Because my favorite saying out here is what the you know, you can add the rest of it, but what the, you know, because it's like always a surprise, like what the, you know what I mean? You hit something, what the, you know, you hear a funny sound in your tractor, what the, you know what I mean? It's just what the, it's always what the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when I look at my bank account, that's what I say. What the? As we do this renovation,
right?
What the? What? It don't cost that much? What? Hey. What?
But hey, Doc, another move.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Another motivating factor is the time that we're living in. and the desire to be in a place where we can be away from as much as we can, a large amount of people, and also be self-sufficient. So we're trying our best. Our goal is to get the solar panels established make it self-sufficient, where if everything around us is cut off, we still are able to survive, because that's the time we're in. So that was a definite catalyst as well to our desire to get this land and get it in a place that's away from the city, and, you know, where we can kind of establish our own little hamlet or whatever you call it, haven. That's why it's called Algena. Go ahead.
What's it called?
The name is Algena Farm and Steam Educational Center. And, you know, Arabic, Algena means the paradise.
Well, you know, that's the only thing that they talk about in Holy Quran is the garden as the paradise. They don't talk about the skyscraper.
Yeah, right.
I mean, over and over again, it says a garden with rivers flowing beneath. Come on now. It says it over and over again. I don't understand why people just can't understand a simple fact that it's going to be a garden. That's what it's about. Mm. Not a skyscraper, not stack and pack. You know, you know, a lot of, they're getting ready to stack and pack for real. All these cities, they go stack and pack. Those vacant lots, they're waiting to get enough of them in line. They're going to knock down the other houses, and they're going to stack and pack. They're going to build these skyscraper apartment buildings and pack them and stack them. Okay, that's the plan.
Like sophisticated slave ships.
Sophisticated slave dungeons. Dungeons. Tall dungeons. And people are going for it. But to be away from the people, to see them when you want to see them, and then to see who you want to see, and have come visit you, people you want, and, you know, so you can you know, grow together, instead of dealing with a bunch of knuckleheads all the time who you got to keep going over stuff, just like, you know, man, stay out of my space, man. You know, you have your own space, man.
It's a blessing.
Well, it is a blessing. Is Brother Patrick on? Did he make it?
Not yet. Brother Patrick, if you're on, press the one. Press the one you dial, Brother Patrick, if you're on, so we can open your mic.
One of the busiest men on the
planet. So what questions y'all got for me? I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know.
We're going to have you and Sister Ann come up, like, real, Dr. Ridgely, and walk us through this process. Because, like I said, when that brush was cleared, it was like, okay, Did we like make an error? Or did we really know or understand what we're getting into? So overwhelming feeling sometimes that you want to do it right. And I know you won't do everything in the first year. It's going to take time to develop, but you want to at least get a good start, you know? So what do you think are the most important things to establish as far as food production for this late in the season? What do you think is the most important thing to establish after we clear and till, and just what do you think in your opinion?
I don't know. You know, it's always easy. Well, tomatoes produce a whole lot, and squash, they produce a whole lot. And then I don't know the season up there. That's why you got to check. It's just a BJ. I don't know the season up there. You know, for you, you know, I don't know when broccoli and is the season up there. So you really need to talk to her and say, because, you know, they say, listen, we saw it in late. What would you suggest that we can grow? And then you got to find out what you want to do with it. You know, it's going to be just for you. Or it's something you want to try to sell, you know. If it's just for you, then you need to think in terms of what you like, and then find out can it be grown at this time of year, you know.
Okay.
Now, the land itself, what was on it before, the 1 acre that you're working with, what was there when, when you started working with it?
We cleared was just, it had a couple of fruit trees. We still have some up.
Okay.
And just like
she had a
brush.
Large variety of brush. Looked like she has some things that look like bamboo.
It's some type of a reed.
She had some evergreen trees there. She had some of the stuff we still left, but we kind of cleared it so we could have some space. But we're looking at doing a small garden for us pretty much, and then any overstock we'll try to sell like a little farmer's market in front of the house. And then we want to do the indoor piece because, you know, here we get cold. So we want to do the indoor hydroponics or whatever from the towers that you can get. And then grow some basic stuff, tomatoes, cucumbers, squash, or whatever we can do that'll grow year-round inside.
Well, you know, the thing is just take your time, you know, get started on something, but you know, then step by step. You see, you're not forced to have to make money with it, okay? Because you got another way of making money, right? So you can take your time and just kind of like grow into it. Now, there's a little different situation. That's why I tell people, you know. I was dropped on 1,556 acres, which is 1,300 football fields. I mean, 1,300 football fields. Huh?
Yeah. I said somebody called
you. You know, right. You know, you're talking about, you know, y'all see an acre, and I have to have an acre?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like right now. We're trying to finish off 40 acres of watermelons. We're still planting. Planting for a month. So because of the weather, it's been real wet, unusually wet. Our soil is hard brick when it's dry. When it's wet, it's mud, and then you got to wait until it dry down because you can't work it when it's muddy because you do, it'll be a brick. And so it's a real pain. We had to try to deal with large acreages immediately. And there are a lot of people were pushing up on me, what do we grow? Why are we using all the land? You know what 1,600 football fields look like, and you want me to do it organic?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, you just can't explain to people until they in it. All right?
Right.
But, my wife goes around to these different programs, and most organic farms, they don't try to do no more than 5 acres. They may have a 100-acre farm, but they only going to do 5 acres organic.
Right.
Okay. And here we are. We're planting. We're doing 40 acres of watermelons organic. We do it every year.
Good. I can't even imagine looking at that field.
40 acres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is daunting, as they say. It is daunting. And so, but you know, all praise due to Allah. You know, this is what I asked for. I prayed for this when I was, and I got it. And so, ain't nothing in me whimpering. I just try to, you know, suck it up and try to make it happen. But you have opportunities to take your time and just, try this, try that. But you don't have to rush into it. You're not forced to it. You're not starving. So you just grow into it and let it be fun and not pressure. But BJ, can you just go over there to her house and see what they're doing at this time of year. You know what I mean? Copycat. That's the best thing to do. Copycat.
Come on. Did you ever think about some of that land, opening it up for maybe people to buy a plot and build a home, and then they pay you rent or whatever?
Well, you know, I have taken many proposals. I don't even want to get into it. This is not my land. You know that, right?
Oh, okay.
Okay. This belongs to the nation. I can't just do what – I have produced many, many proposals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has been accepted yet. So, yeah, I think that would be a great idea, though. You know, just haven't been able to get it worked out.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Yes, sir. This is not Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann's farm, okay? It is the Nation of Islam's farm. But some people act like it when it comes to work and buying the product, they act like it's just ours. You know what I'm saying? But it's not ours.
Yes, sir.
We just run it for our nation.
That's beautiful.
I say it's running us for our nation. That's what it's doing. It's running us for our nation.
Well, we're very grateful that y'all have maintained it, and really the way that you have been doing it, you and Sister Ann, for so many years. Because I remember when you first got down there, when I was still a student at A&T, and I mean it's, or maybe a few years thereafter that, but you're doing it. You both are doing it, and it's truly an inspiration. I remember when you used to bring the brothers down there to work during the summer, and I don't think we truly appreciated the land as much as we do now, as much as the believers do now. So I thank Allah for you, Sister Ann.
Well, I thank Allah for COVID-19.
Yeah.
Because you know, it scared black folks to death back to life. Okay?
That's true.
And, you know, it's running people out of the big cities. And it's like you're gonna have to do for yourself. I mean, you know, you can't even go to Hajj now, the pilgrimage in Mecca, unless you take a vaccine, COVID-19 vaccine. I won't be doing Hajj anytime soon.
Because
I'm
with
the minister. I ain't taking that. I'm not taking that. But that's how intrusive this world is becoming. And it'll be such that you can't participate in their world unless you have proof that you've taken the vaccine.
We're going to be forced to make our own.
Because they're going to make it impossible to fit into their world unless we take what is not even a vaccine. It's an operating system. It tells you that. It's not a vaccine. It's gene therapy. It's an operating system. You're taking little nano computers into your body, and it's telling your cells what to produce instead of your DNA telling your cells what to produce. All right?
I said, you know it's going to have a bad result in the end because it's not natural to your body.
It's not natural to your body. And it says in the Quran, you can't alter Allah's creation. How do you allow somebody to alter your creation? Come on now.
Right.
So people are going to wake up, and they wake up, they're going to realize they're going to have to leave. You know, matter of fact, when I asked the minister about doing this program, you know, time to leave, he said, well, brother, you can do your little program. You know, but Allah is going to force us to separate. And man,
right.
Aren't we not living that truth now? Allah
on every
is
level,
forcing us.
Master Muhammad is making it happen. Allowing the enemy to kill us and allowing us this pandemic is on every level. We don't see it.
With some of us, we'd see it, but we just don't want to because, you know, a friend of mine put it this way. Some of us has found our cool spot in hell, and we ain't budging.
Yeah, I ask him if I can use that quote in my next lecture because that's what my next lecture is on, The Door Out of Hell.
I'm sure
I'm going to be dealing with it.
Brother Tony, you know, man, Brother Tony, I use it all the time. You know, I use it, Brother Tony, not for man. But, you know, Brother Tony works out here on the farm, you know, Muslim brother. I've probably seen Brother Tony. He's an ex-boxer. But, you know, he's worked out here before. He's working now. But that's his little thing. He said, our people have found a cool spot in hell and they ain't budging.
The comfort zone. Mm-hmm.
And you know how they talk about what that frog they put in that water and they keep turning it up and he just don't even move until he's boiled to death because what?
Yeah.
It was slow, you know?
Right.
So cool spot in hell. It's for the callers. Mm. Open up for the callers. I'm doing all the talking.
Yes, sir. Well, listeners, if you are enjoying this conversation, you have an opportunity to ask a question of our guests or Dr. Ridgely. Press the one on your pad to ask a question or leave a comment. Okay, so I'll let you know when somebody presses the one, Doc.
Okay. Well, you know, y'all, I forgot.
Oh, we got somebody.
Brother Shaheed is the math doctor. So the math doctor done figured it out that he needs some land. Go ahead. Who's on?
Oh, they got shy. They turned off. Caller 2000.
Oh, man.
Caller number 2000, you press the button and you press it again. If you want to talk, press the one on your pad again. And here he is again. He must have had chumpy fingers. Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 9014. What's your name and where are you calling from? Caller 9014, your mic is open.
Oh, I'm sorry, my mute button was on. This is Sister Hadia in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Always enjoying the calls and the conversations. And my family and I are also trying to figure out how to go about purchasing land or a farm, and not sure where to start. Do you start with the farm? And I was wondering, how did Brother Shaheed and his wife go about finding their property, and what state are they in?
Oh, okay. Assalamu alaikum, Queen. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Well, it's on, sir. I didn't know you were speaking to me. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. So we're actually in New Buffalo, Michigan, so we're not too far from you.
Right. And praise be to Allah.
So we just use a regular, we have a regular realtor that we use, and we were looking at homes that had 10 acres or more.
Okay.
And once we found some places, but they just kept falling through, one problem with it, or somebody else put a contract on it. So I would just start with if you got a realtor.
Yes, sir.
Just let them know that you're looking for homes that, because we wanted to have a house on it. We didn't want just the land. We wanted to actually have a home on it. So you just let them know that you want to plus, in terms of the financing, it's easier to get it financed if it has a home on it, as opposed to just raw land. So, yeah, you just let your realtor know what you're looking at, and then they'll be able to narrow the search for that type of home and land for you, okay?
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And I wish you and your wife much success. Thank you.
Thank you, Queen. May Allah bless you and your family and all the believers out there.
Yes, sir. Thank you. As-salamu
alaykum. Who else? Lost my thought on the land, this land issue. Oh, don't buy land and think you're going to farm it and not live on it. Okay? Because this is what's going to happen. They're going to steal your equipment. When you're not there, they love them little tractors. Okay? They're going to steal your equipment. Time you out. They'll get your schedule as to when you come from the city, and they'll time you out, and they'll steal your stuff. Farming, you got to live there. Now, if you just want to buy some land and grow trees on it, I'm not talking about fruit trees. I'm talking like pine trees, something like that. Fine, you can leave it, but you cannot try to farm it, because whatever you put there of value, they're going to steal it if you're not there. Okay? Mm. You got to live on the land that you purchased if you intend to farm it. If you're just buying it for an investment and just, you know, let it sit there and let the increase in wealth, because land appreciates faster than gold. All right, I've done analysis. So land will appreciate, unless it's in a swamp or something like that. So you can buy it and just sit, let it sit there as an investment. But don't think you're going to farm it and make improvements on it and equipment and infrastructure, because people will steal whatever is movable. Okay?
Lord.
Yeah, so.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've talked to brothers who've done it before, and each one of the brothers got the tractor stolen. And, you know, they was only like 10 miles away, you know. But they thieves will time you out. They will watch you. They'll know your schedule, and then they'll clip you. Yep.
Oh, amen.
Yeah.
Turn your camel down.
And I'm suggesting, huh?
You got to tie that camel.
Yeah, you better tie that camel, because they'll walk off with your camel and what it's tied on. Yes, sir. But and also, we also tell people to get our book, The Science and Business of Farming versus the Art and Hobby of Gardening, because in our book, we lay this out, how to go about looking for land, what to check on. You know, you got to check on your land. You know, you have a good realtor. You know, if you don't have a good realtor, you're going to have to check on that land yourself, and you got to make sure, number one, let's say if you want to build a house on it. Well, what are the regulations for that area? You know, if you got to put in a septic tank, you know, will the land perk? Does it have water, you know, for well? You know, those types of things you got to find out. Because you might get a piece of land and there's some restrictions, and you can't do anything that you plan to do because of those restrictions. So you got to find out these type of things. You got to do your due diligence and your homework.
Yeah.
On the land before you get it. So you got a good realtor, they'll look out for you. You know, but if you do it on your own, you're going to have to do all those things yourself. And then you want to see if there's mineral rights. Are you getting the mineral rights? That means owning everything underneath the ground or not. Those type of things you need to find out.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Are there any more questions? Anybody else got questions?
Not at this time. Everybody's enjoying the program. There's people on. I guess they're taking notes and enjoying the program. However, if you have time to make a comment, and look, somebody's on now. Let me open their mic. Caller with the last four digits, 8804. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Andrea Ramadan Mubarak family. I'm enjoying yes. And I want to commend brother and sister for definitely looking at our youth and how the youth can learn and grow from what they're doing. That is about. I just wanted to call and commend you for including that educational portion for our youth in what you're doing. And that's the only comment I needed to make. I'm just enjoying.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you. My wife and I both thank you. That's what we have. Our lifelong mission has been is educating and caring about our children and our youth. So this just has opened up a way to do it on another level.
Now, my understanding is y'all have had a little bit of experience with garage chickens, et cetera. What has been the change in the students? What happens when the students get involved with some form of agriculture? What happens? Anything change in them?
Yeah, no, hold on 1 second.
So the garage chickens. So we actually, my students, they're young, 4 and 5 year olds, 6 year olds. We did an experiment. We're online right now, and at the beginning of the year, we were talking about the life cycle. So I had the parents to all get incubators, and we got some fertilized chick eggs from the urban farm that Brother Randy is doing right behind MUI Chicago. And we hatched our own chickens. And unbeknownst to my husband, I kept my science project. The children, their parents turned the chickens back in once our chicks hatched. And I must admit, I got attached to the chickens. But the children were so amazed every day. They were going to their incubators, and we were talking about just the experience of can't wait to see the chicks come out. And so we all videotaped our chicks, you know, hatching, and it just really was. Some of them didn't. Some of them exploded. So the children learned a lot about the circle of life. You know, sometimes
what?
Doesn't
exploded.
Make it.
What?
And,
what?
Right.
What happened?
They had some of the eggs in the incubator that they oozed out or they exploded. And so, of course, you know, the egg is rotten and the house is smelling. So we're questioning why did Sister Shahida have us do this project. But I also wanted them to see one of the things, honestly, Dr. Ridgely, that I'm learning as a chick mommy now, and we have our chickens currently in a coop in the garage until we move on the farm. But one thing I'm learning is I'm learning to appreciate food and where it comes from. When I go, I have a chicken that, what do they call it when they don't want to come off their eggs? They go Brody. She doesn't want to come off the eggs, and there's no rooster, you know, so, but she'll protect those eggs, and I have to coax her to kind of get the eggs from up under her. But I'm learning a lot about Islam through farming. Like, I never thought that it would be this type of experience where I'm opening myself to so much more, and so are the students. So they're getting the opportunity because, you know, in their mind, eggs come from, you know, Meijer. Eggs come from Whole Foods, you know. So I even had a parent say, they were like, well, exactly what is an egg? Like, exactly what is that? So we went into the whole discussion about what that is. And so we're learning so much about Islam. And we're learning about life and growth and the struggle that the video the minister did, the lecture on the struggles of life, the trials of life. Like, we're really seeing that real time through nature. So the children, I actually had them come up one day. We social distanced. They came up, and they did not want to leave. They were running around and looking at different plant life that's up there, and one area in the back is all woods, and so they're tumbling over the woods, and they just really enjoyed themselves, and that was such a pleasure to see that light, that light bulb in their eyes. So we're actually going to be doing a little mini project because we're doing area and perimeter with my 4 and 5 year olds. So we're going to be building like a mini garden. So they're using their map and science. So what we're actually learning about on the farm, I'm actually bringing it real time in their lessons. So that they can see not only is this something that is attainable, but this is something that you must learn because you're going to be doing this yourself one day in order to sustain our nation. It is the engine of our nation is land. So we do have our chick babies in the garage. And I thought raising children were hard. Raising chickens are hard. They really have like personalities, like people. It's something else. So, but yes, little hood chicken.
Little hood chicken. Well, you know what I found out? What I found out since I've been down here at the farm is that everything has sense except the so-called American Negro.
Okay.
Everything has sense. Except the so-called American Negro. I have yet been able to outsmart the deer in my watermelons. I have yet to be able to outsmart the deer in my watermelons. Okay? The deer is smarter than me. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So you learn, when you say, you know, you learn Islam, you learn something about Islam. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Islam is submission. And
okay.
You learn right. That you have to submit to the forces of nature. You have to fit in. Okay.
Yes.
You have to be in the right spot at the right time, and you got to know where the right time is and the right spot, and then you got to be there. And she don't care if you are the inch off. Okay.
Right.
You lost. You know what I mean? You get a rotten egg and not a baby chick.
And you, well, look. Dr. Ridgely, you can't be lazy and be a farmer. because those chickens, like Allah is my witness, if we don't let them out at a certain time, I'm telling you the whole house is going to know that they're in the garage because they start getting loud. That's what comes up. There's no sleeping late. Oh, no, I'm going to let you know that we're ready. You know, we want to get out of here. We, you know, so no, you can't be lazy and deal with, you know, chickens. You can't be so... It really is a beautiful process. I had one of the MUI students that has now graduated, and she's in college right now. She came over one day, and so I told her, I said, well, go ahead and get the eggs, you know, from the chickens. And she said, I'm going to put my hand in there. I said, well, how do you expect to get them out? You got to go in there. And she was just so nervous, and I said, your energy, you have to have a calm energy when you go in there with these birds. They're going to feel your energy. And so just go in gently, you know, kind of talk to them, because they will talk to you. They literally will start, you know, massive conversations. Let them know what you're doing. You know, don't surprise them. Let them know you're getting ready to gather those eggs and thank them, you know, and keep it moving. So I am learning, yes. Yes, I am. I am learning Islam through animals and plant life. So,
Dr. Rizzi, we have a caller in the line. I think it might be Sister Ann.
Okay. Put her on.
I just wanted to say Assalamu alaikum to brother and sister and congratulate you. And I'm speaking in terms of what Sister Andrea said. I am just so pleased that you are doing this first and foremost for the children. You have this in mind when you got the land, start searching for land. The children, and I know they will appreciate it. And I just wanted to say, Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Oh, alaikum salam. We love you so much, sister. And you are such an inspiration. I'm telling you, listen, I can't wait till you all come up here. I know, Dr. Ridgeman, you are very busy, but I'm telling you, where there's a will, there's a way. Y'all got to come up.
Okay. Well, you all take care. And don't work too hard, although I know that's a misnomer.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Hey, you know, it's ain't no lazy farmers and it ain't no dumb farmers. All dumb farmers are already dead. Trust me.
Oh,
so when I came down here to Terrell County, I noticed people had missing things, you know, missing fingers, missing arms and stuff like that. And I said, uh-oh, what's going on down here? Farming is second most dangerous occupation is farming. The first most dangerous is logging, you know, logging timber. That's the first most dangerous. And the second most dangerous is farming, okay? Mm-hmm. So just be careful and keep your eyes open and always look where you're putting your hand at. Thank y'all so much, and may Allah bless y'all. We will be up there. I don't know when, but we're going to come up there, and we got to see what y'all are doing. As-salamu alaykum.
Hey, as-salamu alaykum.
I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have.